listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
Hello, everyone. This is author Cal Wilson. Welcome to another episode of the Survival in Motion podcast. On today's episode, what I'm going to talk about is surviving college. This being June, it's the month of graduations from elementary school on up through college and so forth. I have attended several graduations this month. In fact, I got stuck in traffic from a different graduation letting out as soon as I was driving along. Graduations are a time of looking backwards and looking forwards in a person's life. And a commencement speaker will be there to give the liberal spin on all of this. You know, moderates and conservatives are not allowed to be commencement speakers. But anyway, I thought this would be a good time of the year to talk about surviving college. Also, I think it is fitting to have something like this on a podcast that talks about survival topics. You know, the name Survival in Motion means all different types of survival situations, from, you know, the end of the world on down to minor problems and everything in between. And going to college is a, well, I wouldn't say it a hardship, but it's a challenge that the student faces and the student's family also face. And so therefore, I thought it would be fitting to talk about surviving college on this survival podcast. This will be a cynical episode, just so you're on notice. What I'm about to talk here will be pretty cynical. But here's the thing. Let me back up for a second. Long ago, I was a freelance opinion writer, and I would write opinion pieces and send them out to conservative websites, and occasionally they would be published. And these are websites you'd probably recognize the name, including the Breitbart websites. And because I was freelance, I could pretty much just come up with my own topic, write an essay, and then send it to a website, and most of the time it would be published. There was one week where I decided to write about getting through college and tips and tricks to get good grades and so forth. And the editor of that website, it wasn't Breitbart, by the way, a different website, the editor emailed me back and rejected this submission and gave a few reasons. And he said, number one, this is really cynical. And number two, it's even kind of dishonest. And that was the part that got me mad. Cynical, I think, is a fair criticism. I think it's more of a fair description to call it cynical, because I think college is cynical. But it was not dishonest. When you're responding to an essay in college, an essay exam, whether it's a midterm or final exam, and you write something that mimics the political views of the professor, I don't think that's dishonest. I think that's fair game. Now, it's different if it's a tutorial situation like how they teach in Oxford, or if it's a face-to-face, you know, PhD type situation where you're vouching for these ideas. That's different. But if you're in a classroom and you hand in an essay test and you think that the ideas that you develop mimic the political ideas of your professor, I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything dishonest about that at all. Anyway, the point is, college is cynical. And before I get started, I've got a few other things to talk about first. Nowadays, college is extremely expensive. Sure, there are some locations like Texas where the powers that be are really doing their best to have graduates come out of their universities and not be hugely in debt. Sure, there's some of those. But for the most part, a four-year college degree is extremely expensive. It costs $40,000, $50,000 a semester. It's just ridiculous. At one point, decades ago, somebody could, quote unquote, work their way through college. In other words, they could be enrolled in college and they'd have a part-time job as a waiter or whatever, and they could pay for most or all of their expenses for college. But that's no longer the case. I think nowadays, it's almost not even worth it to bother. I mean, if you had a part-time job, you might come close to paying some of your living expenses, but it's crazy expensive out there. So you might win brownie points for working while you're in college, but, you know, let's be honest, you're not really paying for that much of the expense. Paying for college nowadays is more a matter of trying to get scholarships, getting loans, and begging family members to help pay for it. And scholarships, a lot of that, I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but Elizabeth Warren kind of blew that one open. Here she was, a Scandinavian-looking woman who could have passed for that blonde in the group ABBA, and she checked the box claiming to be Native American, and that helped her get a gig teaching at Harvard Law School. That could be a way of the future. I mean, I think a lot of people, when they saw that, thought, well, obviously it's BS, and she loses more of her credibility every time she tries to justify that. But there are probably a lot of people who don't qualify for various scholarships encouraged by that, and they will be trying to get scholarships to pay for part or some of their college expense by checking various boxes and claiming to be various ethnic backgrounds. Okay, here's another thing. Student loan debt, look out. It's getting to the point where you're hearing more and more about people graduating from college with $30,000 to $50,000 in student loan debt. And I think as soon as the Gen Xers and millennials start graduating, well, the millennials have already been graduating, but Generation X and Generation Z, so-called, they're going to be getting out of college with $100,000 on up of student loan debt. Couple that with the fact that your early to mid-20s are the most irresponsible days of your life. So typically what happens, somebody graduates from college, they've got any amount of student loan debt, they immediately blow it off and start spending money on new cars, a comfortable lifestyle, and so forth. And maybe in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know, I'll take care of this someday. But right now, I'm too busy enjoying buying a brand new car and living comfortably. Student loan debt is super debt. In other words, it cannot be discharged in bankruptcy. It will not vanish in 7 years or whatever. You know, mortgage debt is one where if you have a mortgage and you pay the mortgage every month, you can write off that interest. And when the smoke clears, you're kind of paying the same as it would cost to rent a house, except you're building up equity. So mortgage debt is kind of good debt. Credit card debt, you can default on and lay low for a few years. And maybe a little after 7 years, it'll just vanish off of your credit report. Other debts have different lifespans and so forth, but student loan debt will never go away. And I'm exaggerating with these hypotheticals, but I've got to mention a couple hypotheticals. Let's assume somebody gets out of college, they graduate, they've got, say, $30,000 of debt, and they have a good job, and they start building up a little bit of savings, and they check their credit report on their website for their credit card. You know, you can check your FICO score nowadays. So things are looking okay. Through the years, they get a couple of hostile-looking envelopes in the mail, which they tear up and throw away. And like I said, they might think in the back of their mind, okay, I'll take care of this someday. Someday later on, I'll take care of this. And the guy gets married, he's got a kid on the way, and then they start looking at houses to buy. And the realtor says, hey, why don't you get pre-approved for a mortgage and then start looking for a house? Okay, sure. And the guy actually gets pre-approved for a mortgage and makes an offer on a house and then gets a phone call from the realtor saying, how long were you trying to keep this from us? We looked you up and we saw that you've got $50,000 worth of student loan debt. $50,000. And the guy says, wait a minute. I haven't heard about that in years. Last I heard, it was $30,000. But see, with interest and penalties all compounded, that student loan debt goes way up. And like I said, there's no way to get rid of it. And then at that point, the realtor will say, look, I don't know, but you've got to pay off this student loan before you can have anything to do with real estate. And the guy said, hey, how can I do that? Realtor says, I don't know, go hold up a liquor store. That's what other people do. I'm just kidding, of course. But you could be in that situation. Another hypothetical that's exaggeration, but picture a funeral home in the back room, you know, and then the government agent bursts in. What are you doing with that body? Oh, I'm embalming this body. Take your hands off of that body. We're repossessing it. That guy still owes some student loan debt. we're going to harvest the organs and pay off some of the student loan debt he still owes. I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course, but the point is, this is super debt and you can never get rid of it. I've heard of some government programs where you can get a job as a teacher or work for the government somehow. And I don't think that totally does away with your student loan debt, but I think it's more like, you know, how to put it off further. But beware, beware, beware of student loan debt. It's something that will plague you for the rest of your life. All right. Another thing, let me change gears here. Consider joining the military for several reasons. I did not join the military. I was not in the military, and I wish I had. Not only is it serving your country, helping to defend the United States, which is honorable, but there are a number of benefits that make it well worth your time. Job training, ongoing health care. When you get out, you can qualify for a VA mortgage, which is a no down payment mortgage on a house. And when you get older, and I know this from friends in our church, that when you get older and you're a veteran, you can qualify for Veterans Retirement Home. It's probably a little bit soon for you to think about that in a podcast where I'm talking about surviving college. But here's an example. I have a concealed handgun license, and from time to time, I have to go through training to keep that license valid. Well, my certified instructor canceled a meeting with me once, and I found out later what happened. He had cataracts, and he said that he was planning on paying $10,000 for a cataracts operation. And then he realized, oh, I'm a veteran. You never know if the veterans hospital might offer that. And he found out that he was able to get that same operation for free at the VA hospital. And so that was a savings of $10,000, only because he was a veteran. So that's another example of veterans benefits. Also, you get job training while you're in the military, and it can also pay your tuition for college if you want. Now, that would require more time in the military, but keep in mind what I said earlier, that your early to mid-20s, those are the most irresponsible years of your life. So if you're spending those years in the military, it's not like you're losing anything. It's a good time of your life to spend in the military. So give that some consideration as well. Also, consider a trade or vocational college. Those places are pretty quick. They have low-cost tuition. And once you're out, you start on a job almost immediately, so you don't accumulate any debt. Also, if you're in college, consider taking a night class if it is offered. The students who show up for night classes are more serious, and it's good to kind of absorb those thoughts from those students, because they know exactly why they're getting a college degree and they know why it's important. And it's a different type of classmate in those classes. And it's good to get some of that information rubbed off on you. All right. Here's my thing about surviving college. Let me tell you how I started first. When I graduated from high school, I had a problem with intellectual arrogance. I admit it. When I was 17 and 18, I just thought, I know everything about everything. And I've jokingly drawn a graph for friends of mine where the y-axis is knowledge of the world. And the x-axis is my age. And it went up exponentially and then peaked right around 17, 18, 19 years old for me. It peaked. It was way up there. Because at that time, I knew everything. And then it slowly kind of inched its way down, you know, and then by the end of college and then into law school, it just plummeted, took a dive. And by the time I got out of law school, I thought I was a total idiot, just the opposite. But anyway, as I started college, I thought I was totally brilliant. I wanted to be intellectually stimulated by college, and I thought that college grades were beneath me. So my first year in college, I signed up for all these almost graduate level classes. And sure enough, they were interesting, no doubt. And then I took summer school after the first year of college. But then I looked back and I said, I've got nothing but B's and C's to show for this. And at that time, I really didn't know what I would be doing for a living, but I knew that mediocre grades in college would be a real way to limit my possibilities. So I did a lot of thinking, After my summer school and after the beginning of my second year in college, I did a lot of thinking, and I kind of turned 180 degrees. I realized that college is not a place to become intellectually stimulated. It's not a place to learn. If you want to learn stuff and, you know, be a smart person, then, I don't know, watch documentaries or something and stay up to date on the news. And there are ways to be intellectually stimulated besides going to college. The point of college is to go in and get a college degree and have really good grades. And that way, whatever you decide to do after college, you have more options open to you. And so when I began that second year of college, my goal was to only take classes where I could get A's and not worry about trying to be intellectually stimulated or whatever. The whole purpose of my going to college from then on was to get straight A's. That's it. So I had several rules for myself. Number one is not take the proverbial basket weaving class because I didn't want anybody to look at my transcript and say, aha, look at that class. Of course he got an A in that class because that class is obviously an easy A class. So I did stay away from those. But all the time I was constantly doing the math on my GPA and figuring, okay, I have X amount of hours this semester. If I get straight A's this semester, how would that affect my cumulative GPA? I was always doing that. I kept my grade reports on my desk where I lived, and I was always looking at them, always doing the math. If I got, you know, three A's and one A minus this semester, how would that affect my GPA? And I was always doing the math on my GPAs. So like I said, I would stay away from easy A classes. Now, here's the main thing. By the way, I'm not talking about engineering classes or physics or math. I'm talking about, you know, classic liberal arts education. I don't have any advice for engineering classes and math and so forth. That's where it's pretty empirical. You are tested on something and your answer is either right or wrong. What I'm talking about is essay tests, which is mostly in the soft sciences, you know, political science, history, English, sociology, philosophy, that kind of thing. All right. There were a number of classes I would begin where the professor would start off by saying, hey, I have some political opinions of my own, but I won't grade you on whether you agree with my political opinions or not. I'm going to grade you on how well you develop your own political opinions. And I would take that advice and throw it out the window. I would completely disregard it. And so I would just figure, forget that. Whatever essay comes up, I'm going to answer and completely mimic my professor's political opinions. I completely threw out their admonition, threw it out the window, and I started getting A's. Now, like I said, if you're in a tutorial situation or a PhD situation, that's different. But when you're in a college class and you hand in an essay test, most of the time just with a student number on it, not even your name, then I don't see that as a dishonest thing. I see that as just smart. You know, you're mimicking the political ideas of your professor, and of course, duh. So I started getting A's that way. And occasionally nowadays, something will make the news about, oh, can you believe that this university is having this class entitled, you know, whatever, how United States is awful or whatever. And everybody would say, oh, I can't believe our tax dollars are going to pay for that. I just hear stuff like that and I think, yeah, I can get a straight A in that class. I know exactly what the professor is going to want to read on an essay test, and I'll give it, and I'll get a straight A. So political science classes, I started thinking, those are really, really easy to get straight A's in. All right, how about history classes? In history classes, I would be the one on the front row with a tape recorder, tape recording the lecture of the professor. Sure, they assign reading assignments, but the lectures in history classes highlight what the professor thinks is important in the reading assignments. So, you know, these are back in the days of cassettes. So every history lecture, I would tape record it, and then I would write down on the cassette what the subject was and the date. And I would just plop that in my car stereo. And whenever I would drive around, instead of listening to music, I'd listen to that. And so by the time the final exam came around, I've listened to every lecture at least three times. And so that was like swimming downstream. It's just a whole lot easier to get an A in a history class when you've done that. Also, it's a good idea to study old final exams and midterms. That way you get a feel for what in the subject matter the professor thinks is important. All right, here's another thing. Fraternities and sororities have whole file cabinets filled with old midterms and final exams from various classes. And this is another issue that comes up rarely, but it still comes up. And I'll just illustrate it by a story. I had a friend in a sorority who said, oh, you're taking that class, mythology. I think we've got the final exam in that class from a couple years ago. You know, I said, oh, can I borrow it? So I Xeroxed it and gave it back. And I studied that final exam from 2 years earlier. And then there was one subject I had a question on. So I went to my professor's office hours and I said, you know, I was studying your final exam from a couple years ago. And I had a question about this one issue. And he said, wait a minute, you've got a final exam from 2 years ago? And I said, yeah, it's one of the ways I study in general. Anyway, he kept asking me questions. And at some point I said, wait a minute, am I doing something wrong? I mean, I don't want to be accused of cheating here. I mean, there's nothing on the final exam that says this is the property of Professor X. You know, you can't leave with this in your hands. As far as I knew, it was totally legal and ethical and above board. And anyway, he made it sound like I was doing something wrong. And I said, I don't want to be accused of cheating. I'll stop looking at that final if that's how it works here. But he said, no, you know, if I were you, I would seriously study that final exam. And it was identical. Every once in a while, a professor will be lazy enough that they will give the same midterm or final exam from one or more, or 5 years earlier or whatever. But even if that doesn't happen, it still shows you what in the subject matter that professor thinks is important. So I would advise you to study old final exams and midterms for that reason. Also, stay away from C-only classes with cachet. And let me explain it this way. College students in different majors will wind up hanging out with each other a lot. And every once in a while, there will be one class that is taught by a famous professor, or for some reason, it's a big deal. And maybe it's like a former politician. I had a class taught by Henry Kissinger's assistant, you know, that kind of thing. And occasionally there will be a class where everybody knows that instructor only gives B's and C's. Well, don't take the class. I mean, if you really want to learn this stuff, you can always sit in the class and not enroll in it. That's known as auditing. Sometimes it requires a professor's approval, but you don't want to enroll in that class and actually come out with a B or C. Anyway, but college students will sign up for that with the idea of bragging about it to their fellow students. And that always confused me. You're bragging about this hit that you're going to take on your GPA. It just made no sense to me. So stay away from classes like that. Also, from time to time, you'll find that there will be classes that you can take from a certain instructor and you will always get an A. Take every class you can from that instructor. That happened to me. For some reason, our brains meshed. My brain was like his, and I wound up taking a lot of history classes, like history of Central America, history of South America, the history of the Portuguese Empire, the history of the Spanish Empire, stuff I wasn't really that interested in. But for some reason, whenever I turned in a final exam with that particular professor, I knew I was going to get an A, and I did. So if you find a professor you get A's from, take every class you can from that professor. Here's another thing. Take classes from different departments that teach the same or similar subjects. That way you don't have to relearn the same subject. Here's an example. The history of World War I, taught by the history department. The political science department will teach American politics from 1900 to 1920. Stuff like that. If there's a ROTC program in your college, they might have military science classes where they'll teach something like trench warfare and chemical weaponry or whatever. You know, it's kind of a similar subject taught by a different department at the school. And so I did that a couple times. I learned about the Korean War several times in several different classes. Only had to learn it once. So anyway, these are all tips and tricks from my experience of going through college on how to get good grades. And the priority was to get straight A's all the time. And I still disagree with that editor who said this is dishonest. I think it's just a matter of, do you want to get a good grade in this test or don't you? So answer that essay accordingly. And remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? She's not the smartest person. I don't want to say she's a total idiot, but she's obviously not very swift. And she got out of Boston University cum laude in international relations and in business. When she was handed an essay test, what do you think she wrote? Of course, it was all just the standard left-wing stuff. Americans are bad. Republicans are evil. Socialism is great. I remember she has a business degree. And how do you think she got that? Well, that's how, is she mimicked the political ideas of the professor. She might not have had any political ideas to begin with, but you know, that's how she did so well at Boston University. One last thing I wanted to say. When I was graduating from college, the last year I was in college, I rented a bedroom in a house in the nice part of town. And every other bedroom in that house was also rented by another college student. And I notified the landlord, okay, I'm about to graduate and leave. If you'd like to show my room to potential future renters, that's fine with me. Just do me a favor and call and leave a voicemail of what date and time you'll be showing this room. Okay, no problem. The landlord was cool with that. Good. So it was about a week before I graduated, and I was on campus about to, I think I was in between final exams, and went to the student union to grab a bite or whatever. I was actually being tailed on campus. Some guy was following me, and he was looking at me. And I went up to the guy, introduced myself, and, hi, how are you? And he looked at me really strange. He started treating me like a savant or something, like I was a genius, freakishly so. And he said, hey, I might be renting your room this summer and next year. I happen to see your grade reports on your desk. And I said, oh, so that's what this is about. That's why you're looking at me so weird. And I said, look, good grades in college are just a game. I'm not a genius. My level of intelligence is moderate or slightly above average, but I'm definitely not a genius. I'm just good at playing the game of getting good grades in college. That's it. And if I can do it, you can do it too. So that's my experience with college and getting good grades. Just remember, it's just a big game. So treat college accordingly and go off and get some straight A's. If there are some major points from this episode I hope you pick up on, number one is your early to mid-20s. Those are the most irresponsible years of your life. And number two, student loan debt will never leave you. Most people get out of college and they've got a lot of student loan debt and they immediately blow it off and it goes into default. And that's why student loan debt default is such a big problem in this country. So I hope those two items you pick up, your irresponsible years in your 20s and student loan debt is a killer. Another thing I hope you remember from this episode is the fact that college professors can be full of crap. When they sit you down and say, oh, you don't have to agree with me to get a good grade in this class. I will grade you depending on how well you develop your own political ideas. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. Take it from me. If you have a liberal college professor, turn in essays that have a liberal slant, no matter what your own beliefs are. That's just how it works. Anyway, I hope you found this episode of the Survival in Motion podcast informative and educational in more ways than one. I hear the music. That means our time is up. Thank you for joining me. God bless.